I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to the Trampoline Hall podcast. I'm your host, Misha Globerman. Trampoline Hall is a lecture series that takes place in a bar. People give lectures on all kinds of subjects, the one restriction being that they cannot lecture on subjects on which they are professionally expert. After each lecture, we take questions from the audience. We're a few episodes into the podcast now, and we've been doing the show live for a really long time. And at the show, I talk to the audience for a long time at the start of the show, and I have actual information to give them about how to ask good questions and how the show is going to go, and it makes sense in the room. In the podcast, we're still figuring out what it is that I need to say to you at the beginning of each podcast. And I've told you a few things about the show and about what the live show is like, and I think that's been helpful, hopefully. Then I was sort of wondering what else to talk about, and I was talking to my wife, Margot Williamson, and she said, well, why don't you get someone on the phone to call and ask you questions? And I was like, who? And she was like, well, what about me? And I was like, okay. So we thought we'd call her now and talk to her a little bit and get some questions from her.
Hello?
Oh, hey, sweetheart. Hey, how are you doing?
Hi.
Hey, we're on the radio.
Okay.
I mean, not, you know, whatever, we're recording.
Okay.
I think that you used to feel that the show was like cruel or something.
Cruel?
Like mean,
cruel.
Like unkind. No, you never thought it was cool. But you were like, oh man, like I can't believe that you and Sheila, like that you're so comfortable being so mean to these people. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I didn't go to the first show. I went to the second show of time.
Like ever, yeah.
And I was like, wow, they're so cruel. Yeah, for sure.
Why
I
did
just
you think
wanted
that?
To throw a blanket on the lectures and protect them.
So you're right.
I learned a lot from you guys.
So we were like just taking these people and like casting them on a stage and exposing them, and like you were uncomfortable. You wanted to protect the lecturers.
Well, I guess I was confused. I was confused about how you weren't uncomfortable.
That was like around the same time that you were falling in love with me, I think. Is that true?
It turned out it's very relaxing to be around people who aren't so worried about you. I can't do without it now. I wanted to protect the people.
So in these introductions, what do you think I should be doing? Because I've been trying to figure out what to do in these introductions, and we feel like I should say something before the show, but it turns out I had only about 7 things to say, and then we're like, well, what else? And so I'm here with Josh, and like we're recording, and so I'm wondering if you have other things that I should do or things that I should talk about or ways to approach that problem.
Well, I think a lot of people have questions for you. I've known you for a really long time.
So you think you're the one person, so I should find people who are curious about me, unlike you. I should find people who, unlike you, are curious about me, and I should have them ask me questions. Is that right?
No, I take it all back.
No, I think that's what you said. Those are the very words you said.
You said, find
someone who's curious. Find one person. You said, I'm the only person who doesn't care to listen to you. Go find someone else, and they'll ask you some questions. Okay.
Okay, I'll see you later.
I'll see you later. Okay, so that was Margot Williamson. So I guess the takeaway from that is I should find someone who is interested in me and get them to ask me questions. I think I'll do that in a future episode. So for now, that gets us to our lecturer. You might be asking if this episode's lecture contains mature language. It probably does. The topic is secret eating, and the lecturer is Naomi Squarna.
There are two types of secret eaters, the ones who don't care whether they're found out, and the ones who do. It's important to ask yourself which of these positions you're ready to commit to. Are you tired of public eating? Do you need a little more low-key deceit in your life? Or do you want to be the best, untraceable secret eater who ever secret ate? First, you should know that secret eating, what secret eating generally entails. Then I'll unpack the two types. Any ancillary research you might do on the subject of secret eating will lead you to a number of websites and books about disordered eating. There will be firsthand accounts of emotional eating, secret binging, basically people who've discovered that it's not for them. I understand secret eating is as much a punishment as it is a reward, but so are a lot of things, like Pilates. Only one online scholarly resource, UrbanDictionary.com, strips secret eating of that maudlin tone, defining it as a practice of hiding marshmallows in the pocket of your pants for eating between meals. I mean, that sounds great. Marshmallows are perfect for secret eating because they're compact and can be eaten fast and hard. Now that you know the fundamentals, I can delineate the two models as previously mentioned. There will be more on secrecy-promoting snacks shortly. Secret eater type 1. He or she eats secretly but doesn't work very hard to cover his or her tracks. A type 1 likes being sneaky but is too lazy or incompetent to be successful. My personal father is deeply committed to this mode, so I'll cite a few examples from his experience for purpose of clarity. When I was 16, I had a fail-safe way of sponging money off of him. As a rule, my dad never wears pants when he's not required to. Moments after he's entered the house, his pants will be far from his person, shed with the speed of someone in terrible trouser-related pain. Once I had located them, there was a world of toonies to be had. Reaching into the pocket amongst the keys and loose change, I'd also find balled-up candy wrappers and foil pellets, the purple and teal of 25-cent icy squares. Most troubling were the granules of sugar that coated my fingers. I'd try to picture my dad eating this candy before putting it all back, my hands smelling like Sour Patch Kids. This doesn't necessarily imply secrecy alone, but at that time, my dad was fronting all healthy, like he'd only eat apples and carrots in front of me. Plus, he knew my brother and I stole his money. If I ever asked him about the candy, he'd be cagey, smiling a little bit like he loved this whole thing. He could hide in plain sight because the joy for him came in denying that we could smell the cherry blasters on his breath. But why do it that way? Why say one thing and show another? My dad grew up rough in Montreal. He was bad at school, got in fights, and stayed out all night, wandering the streets with his dog. No, I'm not kidding. It's true. Sometimes he'd get so drunk that he'd pass out on people's lawns. Then he turned 12. My dad once told me that his favorite part of every day was when he finished delivering the papers on his route. Sitting on the curb to have a Joe Louis and a Pepsi was about as happy as he knew how to be. It's Quebec. Later, when he was in high school, he got a job in a gumball factory and basically lived on them, stealing as many as he could to stave off his hunger. I'm sure that those things, the Pepsi, the Vachon cakes, and the gumballs, eventually led to the stuff in my dad's pocket. I think his instincts to eat candy were connected to that pleasure he took in the hard-won sugar of his childhood, and so the habit carried forward through a marriage, two kids, a divorce, and a fridge full of grown-up food. That's the gist of type 1, so I'll move on to secret eater type 2. He or she eats secretly with a great deal of success, in part because of his or her own cunning motivated by intense fear of discovery. As a type 2, you probably display some obsessive-compulsive tendencies in other quarters of your life, and maybe you even believe that if you are truly good at it, you haven't actually done it. This is authentic secret eating. How I trace my own etiology as an SE type 2 is imprecise but helpful for you, I think, in deciding whether it suits your needs. Some contextual background. My brother Danny is diabetic, so growing up, we couldn't even have peanut butter in the house because that would fuck him up so bad. Every day for breakfast, we had oatmeal with nothing on it. It tastes like glue, like you're eating glue. One thing we did always have was a box of classic Chips Ahoy cookies, not the chewy kind. I was allowed one every night as a bedtime snack, so I'm 12. And around this time, my parents are setting the wheels in motion for a really clumsy divorce. Typically, my mom would sit with us when we had our snacks, but of late, I'd been doing it alone, getting my cookie, milk, etc. So I'm 12, and on this one night, I can hear my parents upstairs having what sounds like a bitchy discussion. Without even really thinking about it, I eat another cookie, quickly, not even taking it to the table. I'm just pressed against the open pantry door. Nobody came downstairs. Nobody knew, and that was thrilling. Over a period of time, I worked up to eating between 4 to 10 cookies per night. I was so nervous that I habitually paced the checkerboard tiles of the kitchen floor, square after square, a pivot at the window and then back to the pantry where I'd slot one cookie into my mouth like a coin. One problem with my kind of secret eating is that the thrill wears off after you've been doing it for a few months and not gotten caught. You realize that you're not going to get caught. Plus, you've gotten a little fat. There are variations on the two types, but you'll discover that yourself as you begin your exciting passage into duplicity. If you're the proactive sort, you might appreciate the following tips for affecting secrecy in your patterns of consumption. For instance, there is a chance that you will gain a few pounds. Consider investing in garments with an elastic waistband. You could, if you like, call them your eaten pants. When selecting foods, pick items that you would literally feel comfortable eating in a closet. Secret snacks like candy corn, original Fig Newtons, ham, fruit by the foot, goldfish crackers, anything individually wrapped, anything miniature, alcohol. Although here you're moving more into the domain of secret drinking, which has a whole different set of rules to contend with. Once you enter this marvelous labyrinth of deception, you should accept that you'll have a lot of stomach aches and you'll need to prepare a roster of excuses like, I don't really get hungry, or I just had a spinach salad, you guys. I'm getting really kind of excited telling you how to do this stuff because it's honestly an amazing lifestyle choice. I don't mean to belittle the experience of others who have maybe felt that secret eating is a negative force in their lives, but I've found it beneficial to manage it in my own way. I'm tired of reading that I'm a victim of some general psychological pain. Don't tell me it's a symptom of something larger that I eat this way because I lack control in other areas of my life. Even if that's true, me, my dad, and a great deal of other secret eaters do it precisely because we don't want to be told what our problems are. Hence the secrecy. The thing is, I don't really secret eat anymore. Or do I? It's hard to say because secret eating has worked itself into the fabric of my existence. I got older, moved out of my dad's house, and without the chance of discovery, it lost some of its power. Unlike my dad, I really didn't want to get caught. Sure, I liked to imagine it happening, but I hated the thought of anyone actually seeing me eat. Not just the trans fatty things. Public eating made me deeply anxious. It peaked when I was around 22, emerging only sporadically and more like straight up lying. No, I didn't eat that pie by myself. Or bacon? What bacon? Famous alcoholic John Cheever once said that the telling of lies is a sort of sleight of hand that displays our deepest feelings about life. I just don't think that's right at all. My lies reveal nothing about me, nothing. If you're still not convinced of the merits of secret eating, maybe it's because I've laid emphasis on snacks that you dislike. So I have an example of freestyle secret eating that really underscores the incredible advantages that await you. 2 weeks ago, I went to see my friend Martin give a lecture at the U of T Law School, and upon leaving, I paid a visit to a table offering sandwiches and fruit slices all fanned out on a platter. A man who was clearly running the event sidled up to me. He eyed my plate and asked if I'd registered. There was an embarrassing exchange where I mumbled that I didn't know registration was required, even though I did. I was lying. In our mutual embarrassment, he became very accommodating and invited me to help myself. I said something like, oh, I only want this one strawberry and this piece of melon, thanks, before retreating behind a large pillar. As I stood in the basement of the law school with my paper plate and pulse racing, it came to my attention that this was the exact feeling I'd had as a kid in the kitchen with the cookies and the obsessive walking back and forth. I thought, what am I feeling? And the answer was total abject shame. The thing about shame is that I always thought it was a useless emotion, but now I think I've changed my mind. This is because one of the things I look for consistently in books and movies is a turning point, the precise moment when a plot or character changes, and why. That's a privilege provided by literature. Because the turn, if it does happen in my life, will probably go unnoticed. But shame. When I came from behind the pillar and walked out into the daylight, I thought, this is why secret eating is the best. There's the turn, and here's the prestige. To be alone with a feeling so strong is a gift, a few crystalline moments of disgrace that you can ditch as easily as a melon rind. I see my dad periodically. We go for walks together. He's a big proponent of father-daughter quality time, and so am I think. Often he'll be chewing something as I approach. Are you hungry? I'll ask him. No, why would you think that? He'll say. Because I just saw you eating a donut. He'll deny it and smile all coy, sprinkles clinging to his lip. I know that in a way, secret eating is my inheritance, and it's something I may lapse into reflexively. I like that connection to my father, even if it's put space between us, even if from time to time I've felt resentment over my need to conceal certain elements of my character, not just the eating. I tell you this out of vigilance, not to discourage you from your future as a secret eater. It's the deception that you might find most cumbersome, not the Cheetos. It's just that you might reach your mid-20s and realize that it's actually the same as when you were 12, because now you're standing outside the house to avoid your roommate in your pajamas, eating Twizzlers as fast as you can. What if you died out here like this? Choking on frozen candy because of a compulsive need to hide your appetites. My dad's half-assed conniving ways make me love him more because he's also one of the most honest people I know, something I'm still figuring out in myself. Even though I had that moment of shame-induced understanding with the melon and the strawberry, I'm aware that nothing's really changed. In fact, everything has stayed exactly the same. My dad's way is kind of faultless. Tipping his hand as he does, he lets me know him even while pretending not to. I don't think I'll ever be able to give up secret eating entirely, but maybe transitioning to my dad's way is inevitable. If it portends anything, I, like my father, now rarely wear pants when I don't have to. If that's not a sign of imminent change, I don't know what is.
Naomi Scorno, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Trampoline Hall Podcast. I'm Misha Goldman. Up next, the Q&A.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Are there any questions? Yes, you, sir, yes.
What is the strangest thing you've ever eaten secretly?
What's the strangest thing you've eaten secretly? Excellent question.
Oh, man. I once, like, ate mustard with a spoon because it was, like, that's not really that weird. It was just, it was intense. I can't really remember because I've actually eaten so much in my life secretly. But they're usually, like, they're usually stuff with a lot of sugar in it. And maybe ketchup.
All right, okay. The mustard, I think, that counts. That gets my... yes, you, sir, yes.
After you got... when you were at the UT library or whatever and getting the food, after he left, did you get more food or did you leave without any food?
Did you just get the strawberry or did you get more?
Oh no, I was so humiliated that I just, like, I could barely even eat those two things. I threw out my plate and ran.
It wasn't like that humiliation, like, because for some people that would maybe even increase your hunger.
I think I really wanted to prove to this guy that I, like, was not a brute or something, because I felt that way in that moment.
Okay, all right.
So
yes.
The strawberry, just the melon.
Yes, you, sir, yes.
Do you have a favorite item, go-to item?
Do you have a go-to secret eating item? Is that the question?
Well, you see, it's about accessibility, I think. So, like, it'll actually, like, if I just have tortillas in the house, and that's what I'll eat. No, I guess, like, ideally, like, if I could secret eat anything all the time, maybe, like, delicious cookies.
So delicious.
But not Chips Ahoy. They're like sand.
You don't like those Chips Ahoy cookies? Those old.
I did, but okay. Now I've tasted better.
You've learned that there are better cookies in the world. Okay, so cookies, but not crappy cookies. Okay, yes, you, ma'am, yes.
Do you have any friends in secret eating, or is it entirely solitary?
Do you have friends who secret eat? Excellent question. Or is it a purely solitary activity?
My friend Livia, who's unfortunately not here tonight, she and I used to talk about our secret eating, because we always did this thing where, like, you'd eat something sweet and then you'd be like, oh, now I have to eat something salty to sort of, like, contrast the sweet. And so she had a really good system of, like, Kraft dinner followed by, like, chocolate chips or something from the bag.
And how did this shared secrecy work? Like, would you You know you're eating that, right? Like that.
Oh yeah, this is public eating.
This is public eating. All right, yeah. I was checking. I was like, am I not supposed to say anything about the? Because it's going to be weird not to say anything. But
good. I think you got all raisins there.
No, I got some nuts, and okay. Yeah, just not. I got nuts and raisins.
Okay.
There's no, like, chocolate in there or anything.
No. This is
then
just.
Okay, I did okay.
It's healthy.
Right.
I eat healthy.
I feel a little better. But with the shared secrecy within that, what would you you would eat together secretly, but you would be like, oh, how was your night? Oh, it was good. I made myself a grilled cheese sandwich and I ate it in the dark. Like, is it like that kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm choking on my trail mix.
That's okay. That's nice. It also reflects well from the friendship lecture. Where are you going? Did you? You're getting more?
No, my water.
Oh, you're getting water. Okay. I thought you were going to come back with, like, a pie or something.
No, but, like,
right.
I guess I forgot. Like, I never actually eat stuff that doesn't have, like, a creamy center. So I forget, you know.
That's why people on trails always look so dissatisfied. Yes, you, sir, yes.
Sometimes you need to eat alone. Is there a threshold there such that when you eat something, at first it's not really secret, you're just, it's sustenance, but then is the threshold that you're full and you keep eating?
So it's the point where you're just eating, right. So if I wake up in the apartment and I'm alone and I make myself some breakfast and I eat it,
yeah.
And maybe no one knows, but is that secret eating?
I think it becomes secret eating when actually I start becoming self-conscious. Like, if I think, oh, if someone comes in right now and sees me eating this, you know, sausage or something, am I going to feel like a bad person? Generally I live with two people and they see me eating all the time and I don't feel like, I don't have the shame, which is when I'm like being all squirrely about my eating. So did that answer your question a little bit?
So is it like if you're concerned with the secrecy, is that right? Like eating that just happens to be secret because you failed to publicize it isn't secret eating.
Exactly. I don't always feel like I'm secret eating. It just generally is if I know that I'm doing it because I want.
Because what? Sorry? That shame, the component of shame.
That's sort of it. If I don't feel ashamed of, like, my cashew cereal in the morning and soy milk, which I don't, then it's not secret eating.
All right. I guess I'll go to you, sir.
As a secret eater, have you ever passed judgment on people who flaunt their eating publicly?
Do you judge public eaters is the question.
I'm actually, I love, there was this girl, I had a class last year, and there was this beautiful girl who's always eating salad in class, salad with like pine nuts and dressing. She'd like sometimes ask a question while eating her salad, and she did it with such comfort. Like, I was really impressed with that. So it's kind of, you know, no, I'm not like, oh, she should be ashamed, but like, it's actually more like, it's awesome that she can do that. I wish I could. Okay. Without right. Choking.
Okay, cool. Let's go to, Steve, yeah.
Well, just on that one, I think the public salad eating is probably a cover for a different secret.
Do you think the public salad eating, and anyone who eats a salad in public, you think is a secret eater?
She's protesting a little
like
too much.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to say, oh, look at me eating this delicious salad to distract you from the chocolate bar I'm actually putting in with my other hand right now. Do you think that's one of the questions? Is secret eating, is it necessarily tied to like eating unhealthy foods? Like, do you think it's possible to secret eat like a kale?
You know, you probably could, like, you know, I guess when people quit smoking, they start, like, chewing Nicorette gum or having one of those weird, like, fake cigarettes. So I could probably trick myself into thinking that I'm being, you know, secret-y while eating, Swiss chard.
Right, but you'd be, like, fake secret eating. You'd be, like, lying to yourself.
It would just be hard because I know that if someone were to come in and see me, they'd be like, "Oh, good for you, eating your greens."
What if you ate it? What if you ate it in a really embarrassing fashion? Like, like, if you ate it like Cookie Monster or something, or like I don't know.
You know what I could if I just became like an animal. So it's just to like simulate shame in some other way. Yeah, no, I could.
Because one of the things I was wondering, I think there are some people who are ashamed to, like, who can't eat in public just because they're ashamed, not so much of the choice, the food choice, but because they find it maybe disgusting to like put food into their mouth. Like, it seems like a biologically embarrassing thing to be seen. And so maybe they want to eat alone. But does that fall within secret eating, or is that something else?
For me, like, after there was that thing where I was like, oh, I really want my mom and dad to like find me eating the cookies and then yell at me and stuff.
Right.
And then it just became kind of if I go out on a date, like, I hate eating in
that's
front
what
of
I mean.
People.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
It's just like opening your mouth in front of another person is, it's vulnerable.
It's very,
vulnerable.
Yeah. They see your inside. Like, it's
they know what you like to eat. They know, you know, it's telling, and, or at least I felt it to be that way. I think also because my brother is diabetic, there was, we were really like aware of what we were eating. Like, my brother had to weigh everything he ate, and I had to like eat what my brother ate. So just from a really young age, I was super conscious. Okay.
Okay, no, that's good. All right. I think we're really getting somewhere. Yes.
Are there any other sort of behaviors that could be signs of someone being a secret eater? Like, if you meet someone in the street or someone at a party, and ways on which you can gauge they might in fact be a secret eater?
So the question is whether there's other telltale signs of secret eater that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
That we haven't talked about.
That I'm so full.
Yeah, that really is. That's a real giveaway, isn't it? Because they feel like, oh, from something that I just ate, and it's like they want you to know, right?
Or I'd say like, I think people who talk a lot about what they ate, who just are really expository about what they've consumed, they're probably. I think there's something going on. I don't know if they're secret eating, but no. Actually, I don't really know. At first, I was like, oh yeah, I know how they do it, but I don't. I think everybody does it differently.
So the answer is no, because they're good at it. They're secret eaters.
Yeah,
they're not
exactly. Particularly if you're a type two.
Right. So they're so if they're any good at it, you wouldn't know. They wouldn't have signs.
They learn. They figure out their ways to even elude other secret eaters.
Okay. So somewhere, but we don't know how to spot them. It's impossible to tell who they are. You, ma'am. Yes.
Do you have to do secret grocery shopping?
Secret grocery shopping is the question.
Yeah. Totally. So like we'll see. The other thing about secret eating is that it's like spontaneous. It's like you have a need right now to eat something. And so you go to, you know, Shoppers Drug Mart, and you get something like from the candy aisle, and you get optimum points as well. So I do sometimes. I do like the other thing about Shoppers is that it's open, you know, till midnight. So if you get like a late night need,
and do you try to go to one outside of your neighborhood so as not to be caught, or do you disguise yourself, or
I had a real Fig Newton problem when I was in high school because they're perfect. They're delicious, and they're like perfectly easy to eat as well. So I would stagger my visits to like the, because I was like hedged in on all sides by like variety stores, but I would just, you know, I'd pace myself so they wouldn't think that I had a problem.
So you wouldn't buy too many at one place. You'd be like,
yeah, I'd be like, oh, I just came in 2 weeks ago to get my Fig Newtons.
Right.
Really, like, I just went to the other place to get my Newtons.
And what was your fear? Was your fear like, did you actually have a fear where you'd go in and they'd be like, oh, you've been buying a lot of Fig Newtons?
I totally thought people were like judging me. Aware. I like, you feel transparent when you have a secret like that, even if you're being really good about concealing your habits. You just, I think that's right. Part of the fun is you suspect that everyone knows what you're doing, but they're playing along.
It's so fun to imagine that like the people at the convenience store would be like, why, she was just here 3 days ago.
Well, you know what?
Our Fig Newton records show that. I'm a pattern here. Look, if you work out the average, why, she's eating half a box a day.
The thing is, I think I'm such a narcissist that I just assume that the things that I'm aware of about myself, everyone else knows.
You're like walking down the street, you're like, what's that girl eating? That's fair. That's understandable. Yes, you ma'am, yes.
You self-identified as a secret eater type 2. So what is the relationship with that self-identification? And you lecturing tonight.
Right, so if you are a really secret eater, how can you identify yourself as a really secret eater? Isn't that the opposite? Ha-ha! comes the question.
Oh, no, it is. It is. But in fact, I feel like in some ways I've released myself from it.
So you're like a recovering...
Yeah, I still consider myself a secret eater, even though I'm not gripped by the need to eat secretly like I once was.
Is it like a lifelong thing? Even if you don't eat secretly, you're still always a secret eater?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, there's a Taco Bell at the end of my street, and it's open really late, and sometimes I just look out the window and I think, I could go there right now.
That's an example of a food that really should only be eaten in secret. Like, up until now, I hadn't gotten it. Like, I hadn't actually related, but up until now, like, when you said Taco Bell, I was like, I would like to eat one of those tacos, and I don't want anyone around.
No.
When I'm doing that's for me. I don't know why it is specifically about that, but like I didn't get with anything
and
else.
I think that it's true that there are certain places like Taco Bell, yeah. Like, you know, like Burger King. Like, you never see someone standing on the street eating a Whopper, you know? It's just
they're
not...
They're always in the car with the tinted windows down.
No, like, people are okay with booster juice or eating, like, a, I don't know, burrito.
Yeah
people eat burritos.
People are proud to be seen eating a burrito.
Yeah.
People will tell people, how are you? I had a burrito a couple of days ago. They want to impress you. Yeah, but no one's
a
like
burrito has become kind of like a status food in Toronto.
Is it true? Is it? It seems like a status food in Toronto.
Yeah.
People just eat them to be cool.
Yeah.
They just pretend to like the taste. Yes, you ma'am.
Because some compulsive behaviors you don't need in your life, like smoking or drinking, let's say.
Like what? Sorry.
Like smoking or drinking.
Smoking or drinking, you don't need, right?
Right. Like, but then you could stop smoking or stop drinking and still live a good life. But with eating, you have got to eat. So do you ever have a relationship with food that is just about feeding yourself, feeding your body, or is it all a lot tied to eating?
So the question is whether she can just like have a relation with food where she's just eating but not getting off on the secrecy of the eating. Is that your question?
Yeah, where it's not like has that.
Not have the masturbatory.
Yeah.
Thank you for using the masturbation adjective that we've been studiously avoiding.
I think sometimes I do. I think when I have less stress in my life, I'll realize that I've gone for long periods of time without being self-conscious of the fact that I'm making food and eating it. Like, it's just something that I have to do to live. You know, like, I was going to say, like, taking a shower, but that's not really something that you need to survive. Or, I don't know.
Like, repeatedly scrubbing your hands.
I think, like, as I've gotten a little bit older and as I've, I had, like, I mean, I think I was being a bit jokey in my lecture about maybe, like, how significant this has been in my life, because it's been a problem in parts, because, like, along with the secret eating, it was often paired with, like, secret not eating. But I'm really happy now that I've gotten older, and I, because I looked at my dad, actually, who's now 63, and he still does it, and I thought, I don't want to do this forever. I want to become sort of, I want it to not be an issue, not even a problem, but, like, you know, because food is delicious and it's necessary. So in answer to your question, sometimes it's not masturbatory. Sometimes I just don't notice it, and that's, I like that. I strive for that.
Right, I think let's...
But you shouldn't.
You just keep on masturbatory eating, Lauren Bride. Whatever you mean. What do you mean she shouldn't? What do you mean she shouldn't?
Oh, because my whole thing was like, oh, you should secret eat. And so now I'm telling you, don't secret eat. Yeah.
So you worry that you're confusing Lauren by giving her these contradictory messages.
Because I was so persuasive before. I don't want to undercut my message.
Okay, which is that she should.
Yeah.
All right, let's end on that. Ladies and gentlemen, Naomi Squarna. Trampoline Hall was created in Toronto in the 21st century by Sheila Hetty and is hosted by me. This episode's lecture was chosen by Lauren Bride. The podcast is produced by Josh Block. Our theme music was composed by Matt Smith. Trampoline Hall is a Sumo audio podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. If you enjoyed the podcast, why not leave a review on iTunes? It really helps us out a lot. Also, Sumo Audio has another great podcast. It's about chips. It's called JustChips.com. You may want to check that out, too. I am Misha Globerman, and thanks for listening.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.